What is up, my crazy cryptid castaways? On this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, we will talk about a celebrity haunted or haunting, the saddest cryptid in the world, Edgegrave Dave reviews barbarian paranormal news, and much, much more. So let's get it going.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ghost Joe here. Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope to give you guys a great show today. We got some cool news and some cool stuff to talk about. So, you know, it's just about the end of January now. The year is moving along crazy, and big holiday Valentine's Day is almost here. And if you guys want to know about the crazy history of Valentine's Day, please check out my last year's episode. It was pretty cool. I tell you all about the Valentine's Day lore and stuff like that. But let's get into today's show, shall we? So let's get into some paranormal news. So actually, this isn't so much of paranormal news as it is a personal experience. So I just recently purchased a Spirit Box app for my iPhone. I've always been very skeptical about them, but I wanted to give it a shot. I'm still putting it through some tests, but let me tell you my experience so far. So as many of you know, I'm a prison guard, and I have been for about 18 years now. Well, I had just parked my car in the lot outside of work and decided on a whim to download the app, Necrometer. Okay, or Necrometer, however you want to say it. I hadn't talked to anyone since downloading it or looked up anything on my phone. I just engaged the app and said, "Is there anyone here with me or attached to me right now?" Now, this app has audio and displays the words on the screen, which is pretty cool because I can never understand what the hell most of these EVPs are saying. So after I asked the question, it quickly said model, M-O-T-T-L-E. Okay. Then it shocked me. It said inmate, which of course is an incarcerated individual. Then it said sad. It said Kimberly. Then it said wrongfully accused. Now, I know that these apps, a lot of them have trackers that track your keystrokes and search history, but I definitely was surprised. It did seem like there were many filler words thrown in there for entertainment, but I can't dismiss the ones like inmate and wrongfully accused. My buddy Dave and I had done a little digging and found a story of a woman named Kimberly from Long Island, who was also a prison guard that apparently murdered some people. I tried again at a hospital in which it quickly said 10 spirits, but then some other filler words. I had also tried it last night while in my house. By the way, I don't like doing these things, and I always swore I wasn't going to do these things in my house because I don't want to know if there's anything here. But it came up with Dorothy, recondition, and then this one kind of concerned me. It came up with I'm here to hurt you. Then office, then go away. So should I be worried? I'm going to test it a little bit more, but have any of you messed around with this app or any of these other Spirit Box apps? Please call me at 845-600-0744 and let me know your experience. All right, so now on to some out-of-this-world news. And since we're speaking about apps, I figured I would throw another one out there that I just learned about. There's a new app called Enigma. It is a UFO and UAP reporting app, but it does much more than that. You put in your location and it will come up with reported sightings in the area that people had, posted on there. There's also a camera feature that records uncompressed video and embeds metadata such as filming location and angle for later description and verification of the phenomenon. An augmented reality lens lets users point a phone upward and then displays and IDs, planes, satellites, and other mundane objects. The CEO of Enigma Labs chooses to remain anonymous by only going by A. Enigma Labs decided not to mark cases on the app as resolved when, say, the UAP is clearly a balloon. They won't harsh anyone's buzz. We're in listening mode, A said. So this app is free and I'll be testing it out as well. I hope our MUFON buddy John Wright also puts it through the test and gives us his take on it as well. All right, so enough of me jibber jabbering, right? So on to the next thing, which is horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave, where he reviews Barbarian. Take it away, Dave.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Ah, you know what they say when you're looking to buy a crypt. Location, location, location. Well, Edgegrave the Barbarian is here to teach you some life hacks. And these lessons can be learned from the 2022 film entitled Barbarian. So let's move into it. And before we dig right into this one, grave diggers, let's get some facts right out of the way. Barbarian is a 2022 horror film that was directed and written by Zach Cregger. Produced by Arnon Milchin, Roy Lee, Raphael Margulies, and J.D. Lifshitz. This is starring Georgina Campbell, Bill Skarsgård, yeah, that's right, Pennywise from It, and Justin Long. This film was produced by quite a few different companies. Regency Enterprises, Almost Never Films, Hammerstone Studios, Bulger Light Pictures, and Vertigo Entertainment, ultimately being distributed by 20th Century Studios, which is formerly 20th Century Fox. And this had a budget of only $4 to $4.5 million and did a whopping $45.4 million in the box office. I'm very happy to report that the movie theater numbers were doing quite well in our post-COVID viewings. This was a movie that I kept hearing about. This was a movie that I sort of never got around to really seeing at the time for whatever different reasons that there may be. I remember going through my different streaming services and looking at the poster, and this is definitely one of those times where I would say that the poster is a really good intro to what the movie might be about. You see a young lady standing at a door, and you're looking at her. You don't know what she's looking at. The rest of it is just shrouded by my favorite color, blood red, that is, and there's stairs going down it. At this time, I am going to issue an extreme Edgegrave warning, spoiler alert. And there are quite a few of them. I would say most of this review does consist of that. This is one of those times I actually considered doing a spoiler-free review. But if I did that, I don't believe that I can offer all the insight that there is to this one. But if you have not seen this movie yet and you're planning on it, you can press the stop button right now and you can go into our archives of the Warp Reality podcast and check it out, because I really want you to sort of go into this knowing the information that I know. So you have been warned. Now, my funny little intro here that we have is I said location, location, location. Let me tell you something. When you move into a house, you better make sure that you check every single room, because you never know what might be lurking underneath your house. This movie starts out where this poor young lady named Tess just booked an Airbnb. Hey, it's happened to us, right? You might book and then lo and behold, there's somebody else that's inside. And then in comes in Keith, Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise the Dancing Clown, in a role that was quite refreshing to see him in, actually. And it looks like he's already renting this room. You know, you don't really know what to expect at this point. If all that you've seen is the cover of the poster, is he crazy? Is he a vicious barbarian? You just don't know. There's some banter back and forth about, I was supposed to rent this. Show me your email confirmation. You know, get the facts. You know, let's see what's going on here. And while this is going on, you have the first night. Things seem to be going okay. And then the next day comes. You know, there's a job interview. You know, life is going on. Things are pretty normal. until you go downstairs, and it looks like there's some kind of rope that's connected to the wall. What do you do? Do you pull it? This almost reminds me, I was just thinking about when Ghost Joe and I used to have this public access cable station where there was this little game, something before the time of the internet. What do you do? What is the only fish with two knees? Can you guys guess? A toony fish. Yeah, all right, that's it. I'm getting a little wacky over here, but what do you do? Do you pull it? Well, that's exactly what she did. And then opens up this corridor, and it looks scary as hell. She walks down. There seems to be this empty room inside. In the room is nothing but a pan, or a bucket rather, a bed, and a camera. And it looks filthy, like somebody's been held captive there before. And that's all that she sees, scares the ever-living hell out of her. And then our good buddy Keith comes on back, and she's terrified. You got to see what's down there. Well, this is when there is a big twist, and the horror begins to show itself. Not only is there this room, there's this whole long corridor, and he's not coming back up. You can only hear his screams. Now, there comes a twist that I was not expecting at all right over here. And this is why, if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want any spoilers, I would stop once again right now. Fast forward to Justin Long's character. And I got to give credit to Justin Long. He has given horror quite a bit of really good movies in Tusk. He was in the Jeepers Creepers film. He actually did this movie with Christina Ricci that scared the ever-living hell out of me, called Afterlife. You really got to check that one out. And now all of a sudden, we appear to be what looks like sunny California. And there's some serious business going on where looks like he's the owner of this house and he has to sell it. Well, little does he realize that the horror that had transpired in the first part of this film is about to show itself, as they're going to come face to face with a creature that, I don't know, looks like a combination of almost like this ancient sort of like zombie creature, or maybe a vampire. You don't know what the hell that it is, but there's this terrifying naked lady that's almost like an animal. And what you discover is she wants them to be her babies, of all things. I was absolutely shocked. Now, guys, if you ever come across any monster and they want to be your mommy, you better play along, because if you don't, you just might get yourself handed to her. So play nice. As all this is transpiring, there's only one thing that you could do. You got to get the hell out of here. Now, what I did not mention yet is that this house is located in Detroit, and it's in one of the absolute worst parts. And that's kind of a horror in itself. There's graffiti all over all the neighboring houses. There's bums. There's all kinds of scary things, and there's nobody that can help. I really give this film a lot of credit for the pace that it gives. It's very dark, but there's also a lot of comedy parts to it, too. I mean, you kind of see what not to do with a tape measure. That was one of the really funny parts, when Justin Long's character is kind of going through this new part of the house because he wants to sell it. And he's like measuring the stairs. He's like measuring like this new part, you know, just to try to get some extra money. And when he's captured, oh, man, that's when things really get real. There's a lot of great escape type parts where they're trying to get away. There's like some action to it. And then just when you think that there's help, you know, that the police could even help you, nobody takes Tess seriously. And as this builds up to the climax, it's very, very interesting. Another thing that I do want to mention is there is an old man that is suddenly in the house. It looks like he's been there for a really long time, with all kinds of VHS tapes about crimes and other kidnappings that they've committed. And as it turns out,
this creature is an inbred baby of a baby, like a copy of a copy, and they've been there their entire lives, the entire time. I really respect the very well-written dialogue, the tone of this that kind of keeps you guessing. And then once you get to the end, I actually thought that it did have a pretty good ending. I was satisfied. All in all, this is definitely a movie that I recommend. I did see this on the Max, formerly known as HBO Max platform. So I truly do recommend this one. And I'm going to give this movie a 4 out of 5 Graves. I really thought that it was great. Maybe the only thing that is making it not completely perfect is that while I did really like the ending, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more aftermath. But at the same time, I'm also very glad that as it stands right now, this is not going to be a franchise. This is a standalone film. And I find that in horror movies, that's a very difficult thing to not want to just continue something and keep watering it down and down again. So go ahead, check it out, maybe even grab a barbarian slice of pizza and have some fun. And maybe turn on the lights when you have to for this one, kids. So Edgegrave out, and check this one out, Ghost Joe, if you haven't already. All right, guys, see ya.
You're listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast. Are you scared yet?
All right. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate the awesome review, even though I actually didn't listen to it because I still haven't seen that movie yet. And I heard it was really good. Actually, one of my buddies from my old facility that I worked in, he wanted me to give him some movies. And that was one of them. And I hadn't even seen it. And he came back to me telling me, "What the hell did you give me? This movie was scary as hell." So I still have to watch it. And that's why I did not listen to your review. I just kind of put it on there and, you know, hope for the best, I guess. But I know you always do a good job for me. So thank you, sir. And on to I Read It on Reddit. Okay, so this is a bit of a different one, right? It's still paranormal, but not pretty much what, you know, you usually get from me, the spooky kind of stuff. But I guess it can be spooky to some people. This one is about fairies, so let's go. My girlfriend lives in Oxford, Mississippi area and called me witnessing a being resembling the fabled fairies. At around 9:12 p.m., she saw a shining yellow ball on her drive home and she hits it with her car. As the being reached closer to her during the impact, she described a being the size of a palm that resembled the fairy in the fourth slide photo, of which I quickly Googled and showed her all and allowed her to choose the one that closely appeared to what she saw. By the way, I'm going to link this story in the show notes so you could see the pictures as well. She said that the creature was similar to that fairy of the fourth photo, but the head was different. She mentioned it was sharp, but could not say more. She said that the creature's blood was smeared across her windshield and that the blood appeared to be red and with glitters in it. Asked for photos, haven't received any as she was in panic mode for what had happened next. She arrived home and told her roommate that she saw a fairy and was given the "are you on drugs" reaction. She then leaves to Walgreens and comes back to her home, which is when she calls me and I'm guiding her through and calming her down as she was having a severe panic attack. Still in her car and scared to exit the car, she tries to call her roommate to open the door so she can run in, but she's asleep. This is around 10 p.m. Well, that's kind of early, right? The reason why she's frightened up to this point is because another fairy creature, which emitted blue light, of which failed to be captured in the photo in the post, which appeared to be black and have a wing structure or to be wearing a cape. This is the series of photos she captured attached to this post. I tell her repeatedly she needs to video record and photograph what she can and send them to me immediately. She has a very difficult time, but after some persistent and calming in my end, she was able to photograph what she could and stated What's in the photo is not what I am seeing with my own eyes. I am clearly looking at a real fairy, and they are ugly and scary. Nothing like what Tinkerbell looks like. The black fairy being circled her car aggressively for many minutes, seemingly angry. I urge her to also record a video, and strangely, the option to video record is lost on her iPhone 13 Max. It just isn't there. I tell her to hang up on me and try again. She calls me back saying the video option isn't there, just the photo options are, such as panorama. I felt this was a glitch in the matrix type situation or a telepathic block caused by the creature to make her not see the video options. Well, you know, you can't actually video when you're on the phone with somebody, I believe. She eventually musters the courage to run into her house due to her roommate being asleep after repeated phone calls and texts. I quickly tell her to record a video to see if the option had returned, and it did. Strange. I asked her how she got in the house safely. She said she waved her purse around her head and did her best to get in quickly to avoid confrontation with the creature. My girlfriend does not believe in the paranormal, aliens, and especially fairies. She knows what a bug looks like, locusts, cicadas, and such, and swore to God that's what she saw twice was of no such thing but a humanoid creature with thin, bug-like wings. So what do you guys think? You think she actually saw a fairy? Have you guys ever seen, you know, one of these mythical fairies around? I've seen videos on that Paranormal Caught on Camera show, and it looks pretty cool. I just don't know because I've never seen it with my own two eyes. But I would love to hear your experiences. You know the number. I said it before, but I'll say it again, 845-600-0744, and let me know about it. Okay, so I'm not sure how many of you guys know who this celebrity is, because she's kind of an old school Hollywood actress. But her name is Joan Crawford. She was a huge Hollywood actress from 1924 to 1974 and was revered by everyone. Everyone loved this lady. But her private life was much darker. She supposedly had brutally abused two of her adopted children, Christine and Christopher, for many years, both physically and mentally. Christine later wrote a book of her upbringing called Mommy Dearest, which later became a movie starring Faye Dunaway as Joan. It was said that she was a raging alcoholic with a severe temper and a few mental health disorders. But maybe it wasn't any of that. Many have claimed that the mini mansion on Bristol Avenue in Beverly Hills may have been possessed. She had converted a modest cottage home into this. In the 1940s and 50s, many people, including the children, as well as some other Hollywood stars, had such things as cold spots, saw shadow figures, and a feeling of dread, to name a few. On two occasions, while Joan was still living there, a living room wall would spontaneously combust into a 3-foot by 5-foot blue flame. Upon investigating, the fire department hadn't found any explanation for this. Her personality, although still with a star mentality, would change for the better when she was away from the house. The wall was still reported to have caught fire until the mid-1980s after Crawford had died. Just about every owner of the home had experienced some paranormal activity, even seeing an apparition of Joan playing pool with an unknown male spirit. One owner had had a home cleansing performed, and much of the activity has ceased. But it makes you wonder, you know? And remember, no wire hangers ever! Hey guys, so I just wanted to remind you that I am on all of the great social media platforms. If you'd like to come check it out, I have the Warped Reality Podcast has an Instagram, which I post on quite regularly, a TikTok, which I post on quite regularly, and a Facebook group. And I also, if you want to go check that out, there's also a public Facebook group that I have as well. I'll link that in the show notes. Please check it out and please subscribe to that because I'm really trying to get out there. You know what, guys? You know? So, let's go on to some cryptid corner right now. On today's cryptid corner, we're going to talk about a cryptid that isn't very scary or dangerous, but has some uniqueness about him regardless. I'm talking about Pennsylvania's own Squonk. It's said to roam in the hemlock forest of northern PA. The earliest known written account of the Squonk comes from the book Fearsome Creatures of the Lumberwoods with a Few Desert and Mountain Beasts. It was published in 1910, written by William T. Cox. His appearance, the Squonk's appearance, not William T. Cox, is a cross between a pig and one of those dogs where the, you know, that skin is all crumpled and wrinkled. His tusks are yellow and crooked, and he has warts and moles all over his body. Kind of sounds like some of my ex-girlfriends. He is quite slow-moving due to his webbed feet and stubby legs, and he usually only comes out during dusk and twilight. Lore says that he is ashamed of his appearance, and he constantly weeps as he walks around due to how ugly he is. Some who have captured or cornered this depressed little guy find out that he is able to dissolve himself into a pool of tears and bubbles. A man named J.P. Wetling is supposed to have coaxed the creature into a bag, which when he carried it home, it suddenly lightened. He was like, well, what's going on? How come it got so light? You know, upon further inspection, he found that all that remained was the liquid remains of the sad animal. Steely Dan and Genesis had even written songs about this poor bastard. People still go on squonk hunts to this day, and there's even a festival held in August for the homely fella called Squonkapalooza. So, you know, make sure if you ever see one, tell him how cute he is. You know, it would probably make his day.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies!
All right, everybody. So the first item of Haunted eBay is authentic haunted tuberculosis hospital foundation piece. And it says warning. It's going for $700. And I believe it's coming from Idaho. It doesn't actually say. So this is the description. This one is close and personal to me. This foundation piece is from an old building that was a tuberculosis hospital built in 1860, 30 years before Idaho would become a state. This building was later repurposed as an alternative high school for troubled youth for those who missed too much school. I personally attended the school in the 1990s. I had seen things out the corner of my eye and heard a loud, low moan come from a solid brick wall. The rest of the students in class looked at me, and the teacher had mentioned that some people believe this place to be haunted. 4 years after, I had taken friends there in the middle of the night in the dark to see if we could see any spirits or specters. Many times we would catch glimpses and the windows of some form or another. 1 mile away is the haunted military reserve for Boise Cemetery. I will be uploading some other items, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, if you guys want a $700 piece of tuberculosis brick, then go for it, guys. So the next item is authentic real demonic bear. Yeah, this one is looking a little crazy there, guys. Extremely active haunted doll from hell. And he's going for $399. You couldn't just add that $1, right? $399. So it's the type is demonic negative. Okay, activity, EMF, SLS figure, red orb, poltergeist activity, disembodied growling, foul smells, and he leaves scratches and red marks. Craig is not the true name of this demonic, but that's the name that was given that he was given to go by. This very creepy looking stuffed bear has a tendency to be very vindictive towards any provocation and investigators that are rude or insulting. We do not ever condone or suggest anyone to use a provocation with demonic energies, so please do not take this as a green light to do so. As per activity, Craig has been known to throw objects at investigators, especially males. Craig's figure has been seen many times on the SLS camera and has even been seen producing a red self-illuminating orb, too. You may get lucky, if you want to call it that, and smell a rancid and foul odor that seems to come out of nowhere. The previous owner stated that if you hear a disembodied growl, that is usually a sign that someone is about to be attacked, usually with scratches. So yeah, that's a pretty crazy one, guys. If you really want like a haunted item, it's $399, and it's, yeah, but that's pretty crazy. And the last item of haunted eBay is yet another piece of something. Now this actually is from its authentic haunted Queen Mary inside bulkhead piece from Isolation Ward. Now I actually got to do a ghost tour in Queen Mary. Unfortunately, it was very quick and we didn't really experience anything, but it was creepy as hell. I did that with my buddy Steve, who actually does a lot of the artwork for the show. So that's very, very cool. Again, thank you for that, Steve. That's awesome. So, and he'll be doing artwork again soon. I promise you that. So let's read the description, shall we? Oh, did I tell you that the price is $550 for this little piece of, yeah. It's the item description is this piece is directly from the Queen Mary. This ship is one of the most haunted hotels locations in history. This item is authentic, haunted, verified, certified as haunted. Very active item. Photos were taken on the day the object was obtained. The isolation ward where all of the infected were kept is the general area of the original bulkhead was obtained. Buyer will receive photos of the area. When handling, I use only gloves to ensure that I do not somehow bind the spirits, etc. to me. I witnessed first because that wouldn't bind them to you if you used gloves. Anyway, I witnessed firsthand the bathroom faucets turn on when no one else was in the bathroom with me. So, yeah, that ship actually has been on many, many, many haunted shows about being extremely haunted with many spirits. Like I said, my friend and I, Steve, had went there. It was very, very creepy, very cool, definitely an experience. And yeah, definitely check it out if you're ever in the Long Beach area of California. It's also a nice boat town too, so it's very, very cool. I miss Cali. But yeah, so there you go. There's some haunted eBay.
And as always, kiddies, if you happen to bid on any of these items and you win it, the Warped Rally Paranormal Podcast and Ghost Show claim no responsibility if you do or do not experience any paranormal activity, and bid at your own risk, okay?
Good evening. You are entering a dimension where up is down, good is evil, and day is night. You've just made a wrong turn into the right headspace.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, everybody. Today's segment is inspired by one of our listeners. They had contacted Joe and asked if we could do a segment on alien species. In this particular case, it was specifically about reptids. So today's segment is entitled Lions, Tigers, and Reptiloids, Oh My. Who and what? What are reptiloids? Who are they? It all depends on who you talk to. And there's kind of like combinations of names. You got reptiloids, reptids, reptoids, reptiloids. There's all kinds of different ones. In the end, they're going to be described as tall, scaly, humanoid, and they're going to range in height from about 7 feet to 10 feet tall. They are believed by some to have the ability to shapeshift and in some cases blend in with humans. There's a conspiracy theory that they have been using their abilities to infiltrate governments and influence world politics. Not quite sure about that one. There are different schools of thought on where they had come from. One theory states that they are survivors of the dinosaur extinction. A second theory says that they are extra-dimensional beings. And a third claims that they are just extraterrestrials. If you are around my age, I'm going to be 52 in about a month or so, then maybe you remember this TV series that took place back in 1983. And it was on ABC, and it was called V for Visitor. A lot of us, that may be our first experience or exposure to the idea of reptids or reptoids or reptiloids or whatever other term you want to throw out there. Where can they be found? In some cases, people believe they are found in subterranean bases. Some believe they're in subterranean tunnel systems. Others believe that they live in these distant, deep caves. Another group also believes that they are, like we said, extraterrestrial and come from distant constellations. One of the constellations that popped up a lot is the idea of the constellation of Draco, which will actually kind of pop up a little bit later on. So the next big question is, why? Why are they here? One hypothesis suggests that that they're using humans as a food source. A second one implies that they want to conquer planets and other star systems throughout the galaxy. At this point, if Joe, you have like a Darth Vader breathing kind of sound that you want to throw in here, please go ahead and do so. Or if you have like the Empire evil theme kind of thing, dun, 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 you can throw that one in there too. Next, when? So when are the earliest stories or the earliest kind of appearances of the idea of reptoids? So I'm going to kind of start with books, and then I'll make my way to other forms of media like TV, maybe even get the movies, we'll see. The earliest mention that I was able to find of reptilians appears in the story called The Secret Doctrine, what was written by Helena Blavatsky. Blavatsky mentions what she refers to as dragon men who lived on the lost continent of Lemuria. If you guys want, you could pause here, go look that up. Lemuria is like supposedly the lost continent or one of the ideas of the lost continent of Atlantis and so on. The next mention occurs in 1929 in Robert Howard's story, The Shadow Kingdom, which is about a barbarian from Atlantis. Now, the name Robert Howard should sort of sound familiar to you guys. Reason why is because he is the creator of Conan the Barbarian. Now, in his story, he refers to these characters as serpent men. The next occurrence was in the 1940s. A gentleman by the name of Maurice Doriel, he adopts Howard's ideas and includes them in a pamphlet that he calls The Mysteries of the Gobi. In it, Doriel describes them as having human bodies, heads like snakes, and the ability to take human form. Sound familiar? In the 1990s, a gentleman by the name of David Icke combines the basic concepts of all the aforementioned writers into what I'm going to refer to as a conspiratorial story called The Children of the Matrix. In this, Icke claims that many of the modern royal families are the descendants of early reptilians. And that, maybe that explains why Prince Charles kind of looks the way he does. In any case, this enforces the idea that reptilians are controlling what goes on around the world. Next part I got, don't change that channel. First appearance on TV is in Star Trek, the original series, which aired in 1966 and went on until 1969. This first appearance occurred in the episode entitled The Arena, which maybe you remember it, maybe you don't. I kind of remember seeing it on reruns where Captain James T. Kirk fights this lizard creature, which is referred to as a Gorn. The next appearance is in the UK series, Doctor Who. The episode was entitled, get this one, The Draconians. And this one aired in 1973. Another example from my childhood is the Sleestak, which can be found in The Land of the Lost, which first appeared in 1974. As you may imagine, shortly after this stuff starts to appear on TV and in movie screens, I didn't go into the movies. There's a bunch of them. You guys can always look them up if you want to. Abductions are going to appear. One of the earliest abductions that I can find any information for takes place in 1967. It was a police officer named Herbert Shermer of Nebraska, and he recalled under hypnosis being abducted by reptilians. He also remembered while under hypnosis that an insignia was worn on the left side of the chest, and it was the shape of a winged serpent. I'm sorry, I got to stop here for a second and go back. Remind me, what did they wear on their chest in the Star Trek series? Oh, yeah, that's right, an insignia. Moving on. The only other abduction that I can find, actually, I got this information from the UFO Museum. There was a case that took place in 1968 just outside of Kingston, New York. The name of the witness is withheld, but the description that they give, and we actually have a model based on the description in the museum, fits that of Officer Shermer. I'm going to conclude this. People are free to believe what they want. If you've listened to my series on hypnotic regression, you could probably predict to which side I'm going to fall. I do not subscribe to the idea that there are reptilian overlords, as in the case of the majority of conspiracy theories. There's very little, and I'm going to use this very loosely, evidence to support this hypothesis. The best available evidence is circumstantial, I'm going to call it shady, and was obtained through hypnotic regression. Additionally, the earliest abductions take place after reptilians were seen on Star Trek. This, in my mind, is kind of like the classic cause and effect scenario. You have belief confirmation belief and confirmation bias, which is going to cause people to fall down this path. Like Hopkins, Strieber, Horton, Kilburn, all these people that had these ideas that were in their mind, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that that is true. And it's going to inspire others to follow the same exact thing. In the end, you can rest assured that reptoids will not be knocking on your door. Hopefully this segment will help you sleep soundly and leave you in the right headspace. Thank you. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you so much, John, for that awesome segment. I appreciate you appeasing our listeners. And I would love to hear more of your coverage on other alien species, such as the Greys and some others that are out there. I hope you enjoyed the new intro, by the way. I resurrected Rod Serling for the voice, and my good friend and guitar teacher, Tommy Tunes, constructed the awesome music for that. Thanks again, Tom, for the help. And if anyone wants is looking for guitar lessons, check out my show notes for Tommy's info. By the way, some other names for reptoids are reptilians and lizard people. Some of the celebrities people believe may be reptoids are Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, Queen Elizabeth II, rest in peace, Mark Zuckerberg, that one may be true, Taylor Swift, that one may be true, Donald Trump, and Judge Judy, to name a few. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Please check out all of my social media and check out all of my other shows if you happen to like this one. Give me a follow, give me a like, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Later! Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.